Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome back to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast, episode 23. I'm your host and GM, and with me for yet another exciting episode we have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith, Angry Dwarf.
Sasha Racket.
Smug.
Smug Rogue.
The freshly frozen corpse of Hamid the Halfling Sorcerer.
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, a man who doesn't have a dog papoose, apparently.
So, where we left off, the party had gotten in a very sticky situation in the basements beneath Kew Gardens, investigating some missing people, and got swarmed pretty hard. But Sasha, Swarm Conqueror, managed to get people most...
That's going on the CV.
I did like the in and out of doors sort of stereotypical thing where like the swarm chases around one thing and she leans
like
in
a,
and
like
throws
a French farce and yeah. Or an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, mixed it turns with ultraviolet.
So, yep. Bouncing back in, Sasha's been doing a little bit of scouting, saw an enormous shambling, scraping form in the mists at the far end of the room, swathed in darkness, gloom, and a slight noise of... And the party's sheltered itself either upon or beside the enormous crate.
Meanwhile, scouting mission.
You alright, Birdie? Yeah. A bit better?
Might suggest a tactical retreat at this point. Do with a bit of fresh air, I think. That's mostly bit of a walk around, you know.
Yeah. I think we might have to have a conversation about general conduct on dangerous missions as well. Might be useful.
Cut back to Sasha. You've just seen the shambling form.
I mean, I'm riding quite an adrenaline high at this
you
point.
Are.
I think that she might open the door and follow it.
Go for it.
Yeah. I'm trying to stealth after them like cyanide in an almond mix from Sainsbury's. And you might give to some people that you don't like.
The most middle class assassination.
Here, would you like this nut mix?
Okay.
And it's full of cyanide.
With some murderous level of sneak.
Yes. Right.
So where do you head in the room?
So I've seen this massive thing following the blood trail.
The blood trail sort of points towards the far corner, so you saw something shambling around. Yeah.
Sit my head around the corner.
Well, you got to give me the sneak roll first. You're jumped by 50.
25.
Yeah, you poke your head around the corner and you still see the shambling form. It's moving in the direct opposite direction to you.
Where is it?
You do see a little bit further into the room, which is revealing...
Yeah.
Yet more crates.
Where is the thing?
At the edge of your vision, so it's just turning the corner and it turns the corner around a crate and disappears from your view again. Uh-huh. Again, you can't really make it out from the thing. It looks like it might have tentacles.
Well, I go to the end of the thing, the last corner that I saw it turn around, and put my head around.
Okay. I won't get you to roll a stealth check, but halfway along, if you imagine that the large shape has just disappeared in the corner diagonally opposite to the door, the corner that is sharing a wall with the door that you came in,
right.
You hear another scraping. It's a different sound. It seems lighter, but nonetheless, it's a...
I think, okay, fine. I'm going back around this way. Remember, I've never seen the fungus.
And you then see...
I see
the
fungus.
The fungus, even from that distance, it feels like it's getting cooler.
Okay.
It's not cold at that point, but it's gone from sweltering oppressive heat to, this is... Okay.
I'm making a dash for the door again, because this is three weird things in a room, and I've already lost half my hit points. Like, Sasha is crazy, but this is getting weird.
Yeah, sure. So do you head back to the group?
Yes.
Okay, you head back to the group.
Hey, guys, please,
will you please tell us if you're just going to appear like that?
Sorry,
almost brained you.
How I move.
Right.
Bertie still hasn't noticed she's there.
What?
All right, so I went in after the giant thing, and turns out it's massive, but couldn't quite see it. It's really dark in there. Also, did you see the massive cold fungus?
Oh, yeah, that's what knocked Hammond out.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that guy's tougher than me. I just looked at him and ran back here. That is too weird for Sasha.
You say tougher, he fell over in front of it.
Right. Oh, well, you know, he tried. But yeah, there's a giant thing, big, with, like, you know, tentacles, I think.
What?
It squelches. It squelches really loudly.
Okay.
And then there's another thing. And that was the point where there were like three weird things and you can't see anything in there. And then there was a massive fungus and I was like, I'll tell the guys before I go in and blow everything up.
You know, I think now might be a good time for maybe a breath of fresh air.
I could probably blow them up. It's probably going to be fine.
You do seem very keen to leave, Bertie.
I am really horribly wounded. And so is she, and so is Hammett.
Actually,
and then look, and then I retrieve Brutor from the non-papoose.
So from on top of the crate. Then.
On top of the crate. Look, this is what happened, look!
Bertie, you're not that badly injured.
Subversion to you.
No.
Ooh.
Bertie, that's not when you start calling me boss.
Sir Bertrand.
Subordinate.
Ooh. I think I said that in character.
We're in quite a perilous situation here.
Yeah.
And you're sad that your dog has died. But we have a mission to do, and you are not that badly injured. Nor am I. Hammered, maybe. Don't know about Sasha. But I healed you up, and I know how, you know, hurt you are. Not that bad. So where's the big brave knight with the big sword and the armour? Where's he gone?
Yeah, like, you just ran away before, didn't you? It's not very hero-ish of you. You just let me take care of everything. Yep.
Well, I'd never.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get your face back in front of this incredibly common person.
Well,
Hey.
What?
Like, I'm proper common. Yeah. And you know what? Saved you. Yeah. Common. Clapham Common-y type common. How common am I common? Lots of common.
And you've just been bailed out of financial debt by another person with lower standing than you, so...
Common. Common we are. Common better. Yeah, I can do that. Common.
Right, Sasha, just...
I'm sorry.
No, that was good.
Okay.
Everyone crumbly. Give me a perception check.
And you will all kill the Legion.
Whilst having a petulant bicker.
17.
17 to beats.
Not better than 17.
7.
Like 12.
Sasha, it's hard to tell. You think you might have heard a noise coming from the door. the one that leads into the enormous warehousing room, not the one that leads into the screaming mushroom ambush room.
Yeah, guys, I think I've heard something.
All right, get ready. Go check out.
Maybe I don't want to go. Okay. Right, I'll go deal with it again. Right, okay. It's fine. It's just something with giant tentacles, a frozen mushroom, and scrabbly, crawly things that pulled at my... Yep, fine.
It's probably heard you by now.
Yeah, I've looked around the corner. I'm barely... There's not much...
Did you leave the door open or closed?
My habit is to leave things open a crack so that I can see through them, but they look closed to other people. That's pretty much what I do around the house as well.
Yeah. Nothing is ever quite closed.
Sure. So we'll say the door sort of naturally closed too. You hear a sort of... And then there's a sort of scratching, a little scratching and a scratching from the far side of that door.
I'm backing up.
What did you see?
There's like scratching and then like a little... There's claws or something.
I'll guess.
I didn't see.
So let's turn the ambush around. Stack up behind this door. I'll make a noise as it comes in. We'll just get it.
Fine.
Just to re-describe the scene, the hand is coming through the door.
You don't know.
It is dark, and I have told you that it is claws.
You can poke your head around the door if you want. You've all taken position on the far side of the doors. Not the doors that the scratching was coming from, but the next set on, so that if it was to come for you...
Yeah, it would have to come around the corner.
Yep.
Are we ready?
Yep. That it had been so alien to Sasha, the idea that you would make a noise like that, that she didn't really understand the plan before, so she looks at herself as if he is absolutely insane. What?
I'll give you an encouraging thumbs up.
Absolutely, completely baffled by this idea. Like, what? Right, okay.
There's a... And you hear that noise approaching you. Unless you poke your head round, you don't know what it is.
I look through the crack in the door.
Looking through the crack in the door? Bear in mind that you guys were carrying lights with you that you've currently extinguished, so it's dark. Yep. There's a small amount of luminescence coming from various growths and things, but that's about it.
Dark vision.
Obviously.
Just for reference.
Sasha, you see it looks humanoid. You're not able to discern much more unless you were to take a dedicated perception check, which will mean that you're sort of still getting a look as it approaches.
It looks like it's a dude. Dude with a sore throat.
I can bring it back up if it goes down.
What? Shuffling closer. As it comes closer.
Yeah.
Clearly humanoid. Uh-huh. It appears to be wearing what's left of a white lab coat.
Uh-huh.
It keeps shuffling. There's a brief parting of the haze, and you see it looks like it might once have been a human, but they're so far from that now. There are growths coming out from their cheeks and from their head. Their eyes appear to have been effectively encrusted over with moles and
it's
things.
It's a copyright infringement from The Last of Us. A whisper to Zol.
And you see that it's holding in its left hand one of the creatures from the swarms, just its limp, dead form. It's dragging it along. And as it comes towards you, it stops, looks down, sees another, picks it up, passes it to the other hand and keeps going towards you guys where the noise was.
Look, I think it's a dude. Like, it's moving slowly. I'm going to open the door and say hi. And, like, if it can't talk, then I'll just throw a bomb at it. It's fine.
Bertie smashes the door. Hello!
That's how he says hello.
It drops the two creatures and proceeds to lurch towards you. And by lurch, I mean it covers the entire intervening distance almost instantaneously to your eyes. Just and just sudden burst of speed and comes for you. Everyone roll me initiative.
Ooh. 17.
Okay.
I got a natural 4 in total with my modifier, but I think she did something stupid.
Let's have a look, see what happens.
Oh yeah, the fumble table.
Oh dear.
Oh, you explode!
Yeah.
So, using our little fumble table, all your enemies have concealment from you for 1d4 rounds. So, for the next 4 rounds, the creature is effectively shrouded in mists to your eyes. We'll say
you,
that...
You have stabbed yourself in the eye.
Oh, my cat is back
together. We'll say that you draw your daggers, you're all ready, and in your big flourish, you nick one of the pipes beside you. steam blows straight out of your face. You're not burnt or anything, it's not particularly hot, yeah. But nonetheless, your head is effectively shrouded in mist whilst everyone else is fine.
Pretty epic fail.
It's a pretty bad one.
As the zombie lurches in the direction of Bertie, while it's doing the lurching, Bertie gives off a meaningful look, as in, you dare tease me.
Zolf, you're up first.
I will give him another meaningful look, as in, I'm competent. 5 foot step, so not provoke an attack opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And just ram my trident into its ribcage.
Give me an attack.
Yay.
I hate you, dice. That is an 8.
A total for 8?
Yeah.
You miss.
Good.
So giving a meaningful look, you miss.
Oh. Competent.
Do you miss on purpose? That to teach me an important lesson.
I wish I did.
Bertie, you're up. It's in your face. It's got one of its eyes is completely overcome with growth. The other one clearly can barely see. You can see this thing's in its mouth, and it's scraping at your armor, ready to get you.
Yeah. Bertie holds up a shield, pulls back some attacks.
Go for it.
12 plus 7, 19.
Hit.
Oh, and so damage is d10 plus 4.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's a 10.
That's 10. So it's 14 damage.
14 damage. That's a one hit. Kill, not even KO on this. Describe it to me.
Bertie with his sword.
Bertie with something to prove.
Without breaking eye contact with Zolf. Brings his sword up and the zombie just runs on neck first onto the sword.
Just because
it twists it while still maintaining eye contact with Zolf. And then wiggles it a bit. And then proceeds to do something which can only be described as ventriloquism. I mean, you've never seen puppetry before. I'm a terrifying zombie. Oh, coming to get you. And then moves the head of the zombie, which is now kind of, as the neck gradually sort of shuffles off because there's no longer really the tension of the neck muscles hold it in place. Bertie moves the head in the direction of Zolf's face. Scary. Terrifying.
Are we in combat?
You're effectively out of combat now. That was cool. A one-hit kill.
I'm going to slap it off the top of his sword with my trident. All right.
When it hits,
I'll give you that one.
When it hits the far wall, it shatters like an egg and spores out from it. They're not spreading out through the room, just a.
I mean, Sasha doesn't see any of this because of the steam.
Yeah, you're
steam.
So basically, by the time it's out of my eyes,
we're done.
There's some spores on the inside of the room and the thing is there. And I'm just like, oh, well done, Zolf. Because he's now got the thing on his trident. He just poked it off.
Was actually pretty.
Sword is over, young lady. Come on.
Right.
Okay, right.
I look in the lab coat pockets.
Okay, give me a perception check.
That's an 8. 15
total.
15
total. Yep. So you start to paw at the clothes and part them. The first thing you find is that the lab coat's almost just combined with the flesh beneath it.
Ooh.
It's all just, yeah, it's all just that's a really good way of describing it actually. In fact, I'm gonna border on having to like give trigger warnings as you pull the coat, it sloughs off some of the flesh.
Okay.
Beneath.
Yeah, it's grim.
Yeah, it's grim.
At that point you'd realise that this isn't the scientist we were looking for.
Poking around in the breast pocket though, you find what looks like a wallet of some kind, and inside you find a card with the name Friedrich Holtzmann written on it.
Holtzmann, apparently, or was. Is that the guy we were looking for?
No, that was the guy who originally went missing, Mendeleev.
Well, we found him, so is that...
He's here, there.
Is that us done?
And there.
Yeah, I'm going to chalk this one up to they're dead, and we're not getting paid for this, and not our problem. Let the authorities deal with this.
I mean, like, so the other guys could still be alive. Well, the corpse that was in the mushroom. Who was that?
A corpse.
Look, I went through his belongings, and he's all gross. You didn't think to check who that was.
I didn't go near it. That's what got hammered.
Well, you got a trident.
He was covered in frost.
Well, you could pull him out with your trident.
What about the other thing that was in that room?
I went in.
Okay.
Oh, fine.
If you haven't noticed, I can't run away from things.
That is a good point, actually. You got me. You do got me there.
Should we, at some point, wake Hammond up?
I'm out.
You got a potion.
Fine. Bertie comes over to Hammond and...
You guys know I carry a bunch.
So on top of the crate is both Hammond and Brutor lying there.
It's cool. So you're going to give the potion to Hammond then? Your university friend that you've known for years, you've got one potion.
Hang on, let me think.
Dog and... Okay, like...
I am going to walk up to Brutor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to slap him off of the crate with my trident.
Oh!
Tension in the group.
Hammond up.
There were actually other potions we could have used. All right, okay.
Yep. Bertie wouldn't realise.
Of course,
that.
He wouldn't
think about it.
Yeah.
Bertie gets out the potion and he's in Tamers.
I'm also while he's doing that, going to go over and check that Brutor is dead.
Okay, one thing
I'm
at a time.
Be told.
So, roll me the heal check, Hammond.
I get 6 hit points back.
Yay.
Yay!
Isn't that most of them? It's
all of them. That's not true. I still have 2 non-lethal damage marked on. Which is basically the sniffles.
You have an owie.
The last thing that you remember, everything was going pear-shaped. You were running to find Sasha and got moulded, and there were still swarms left, right, and centre. That's the last thing.
What happened?
You got, like, there's a fungus, and you got cold.
Yes,
I got rid
cold.
Of all the swarms.
It's really, don't go near it. It's really, really cold.
From Brutor's body, I didn't go near it.
Yeah.
Okay, give me a heal check.
That is a 27.
Brutor is moments away from expiring, but has not.
Oh, for goodness sake. Stabilize.
Okay.
He wasn't dead.
Well, I don't know.
You're not... looking at Bertie.
Do you not check for a pulse? Bertie holds his big metal-gloved hands.
They come off! I thought this was your friend that you were so terribly upset. Just put him in your bag or something.
I get out a healing potion and hand it to Bertie.
We're not wasting it on the dog.
Bertie takes the healing potion and feeds it to Brutor.
I will roll the heal for Brutor. It's a D8, right?
D8 plus 1.
Hey! He gets the good... Right, that's it.
But he gets a natural aim. You feed it, and that's as you're feeding, just... And it's all right. You can see it visibly healing from the thousands of nicks it has. Your arms now match your dog.
Horrifically scarred dog.
It just proceeds to lick and just... And it goes onto its back and flops itself upon Bertie.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? There we go.
There is a tentacle monster in the other.
I come and give Brutor a little pat as well.
We could leave now because there's a tentacle monster.
What happened?
I dealt with
the swarms.
Yes,
well done, fine. Sasha.
That's cool. See, that's what I was looking
I
for.
I said well done.
All right. Well done for you getting the zombie guy. Like, you seem to have him right on your
head. Zombie guy? What zombie guy? Who's a zombie? What?
There was a zombie.
Not anymore.
Helps also me. A giant tentacle monster.
What?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Okay,
did you kill that?
No.
It's quite a long way
basically,
away.
Basically, everyone down here is dead. We're not getting anything of use. We're not being paid for this. It's not a job. The authorities can deal with
it. Did you check the corpse in the fungus?
No! Because I found you covered in frost in front of it.
Oh, he's complete to know who it is.
You've got a trident.
I can't walk quickly.
Could I take... I mean, you didn't want me to take
the
trident.
No, you can't take the trident.
Can I take Bertie's sword?
If he wants.
And then I can, like, drag it out.
No.
Well, how about you do it?
Oh, fine.
Do you try to do so stealthily?
yes. Bertie tries to do so stealthily.
You're going to get yourself killed doing that.
I mean, the fungus looked like it went through the door. Did anyone check in the corridor the other side to see what was going on?
He's clever, that's why he's keeping him
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so you head out into the corridor from which you first entered. Obviously, there's still the door opposite to the broken crate room, which you still haven't checked. And you see the far side of the double doors that are shrouded in mould. You see there is a small amount of mould has come out onto this side, just sort of out of the crack between the two doors.
It's just very small.
It's a very, very small amount. It's not like there's... At this distance from it on the other side, You were already feeling the cold. On this side, you don't even notice it. And you see that the corridor stretches again on beyond it, disappearing into gloom and darkness. And that, I think we'll take a break and we'll come back in a couple of minutes.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi guys, this is us just taking a moment again, thanking people for reviews. Now, because of the way that iTunes works, I'm only able to check a certain number of the countries, like the most popular ones that we're popular in. And from those countries, I've made an interesting discovery. We've actually only got one more. We've only got one more review to thank. So it's turned out it's going to be a bit faster than I thought. A bit quick.
I wish to also in synchronicity. Yeah.
I agree. So with that in mind, this is from New Zealand.
Oh, hi, New Zealand.
Hello, New Zealand. You're very far away. How's that? This is for Meets NZ.
Okay.
Thank you, Meets NZ.
Now, of course, there are a load of countries that we are listened to, and I can't check all of them because it's just not possible. So if there is anyone who's left a review in those 8 weeks...
Not because he's just like, I don't have time to look at these other countries. Like, iTunes actually doesn't allow him. Otherwise it sounds like, I'm too snooty.
I'm too hard.
Really not bothered about anywhere further than the Watford Gardens. The land of wind and ghosts. I'm only aware of New Zealand because it's a former colony.
Let me rephrase it this way. It's physically impossible for me to check all of them, not even just based on time. So with that in mind, if we have missed you and you left us a review, just drop us an email. We're really sorry, we'll chase it up. But again, thanks to Meets NZ and thanks to everyone else who's left a review. We really, really appreciate
it. Thank you.
And if other international listeners don't want Meet NZ to be so lonely, leave us a review.
Yes.
Come on, rest of the world, buck up your ideas.
But nicely, because we really like you. Not.
In a caring, sharing way, of course.
Buck up your already good ideas.
So anyway, thanks again, guys. We really appreciate it. And welcome back. So, yeah, you're in that corridor. Creepy corridor.
I want to open the door that we missed.
Okay.
I'm still looking at the big double doors into the huge warehouse room. I don't think it would be safe to open those. I mean, if we let that
cold mold thing out.
No one was thinking of opening
yeah,
it.
But no one was,
no one was going to do that.
There's a very small amount of the mold there. Perhaps we should gather some of it up. I wonder if the scientist chaps might have some interest in it.
Well, they're all dead, so...
Well, there's plenty more upstairs.
Yes. Basically, the thing I'm trying to get across here is we don't need to be down here anymore.
We need to find out what happened.
Like, no, we don't.
We need to know who the person is.
You might find some people to drown.
And as you've said that, we'll say that you've opened that door.
Yep. I'm wandering off, opening the door.
You open the door, and you see a room full of filing cabinets. They line the walls. There are rows of them in the middle. It appears untouched. In fact, it appears like there's nothing creepy or gross in there at all. It looks completely untouched.
Guys, there's all the records here we might be able to find. Like, I mean, maybe there'll be... So if I could look under, like, S for seed to look up something on what we got.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. You should look under W for weird seed.
True. Or isn't it slightly metallic? M, metallic seed.
I think we need...
We make a great team.
I think we need an actual scientist to help us.
Yes. But they're not here, and unless George knows a lot about seeds... Queue's kind of empty, so we might as well just move on to Paris.
We don't know that everyone down here is dead. Everyone give me a perception check.
No.
Oh dear.
2 minus 1 is 1.
24. 24?
6.
6 plus 7.
You're not certain. It might just be a trick of hearing, but you think you hear this, Hamid. Tap, tap, tap. Scrape, scrape, scrape. Tap, tap, tap.
I totally know what that is.
We all know what that is.
Nah.
It's very hard to pinpoint. It sounds like it's running. You look, looking up, there's a couple of pipes just running along the corridor above you. It sounds like it's coming from the pipe.
Shh!
I'm already silent.
Someone's tapping out a code. It's SOS. Someone's sending us an SOS.
You should tap back.
That's literally the only Morse code.
Just tap hello.
Tap something else that's recognisable, like a sequence of ascending prime numbers, perhaps.
That's some sad like you can tap out something like da 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 like that.
Just...
So they know it's not fungus, because a fungus don't know tunes.
I can do Land of Hope and Glory on the spoons.
If we don't know where they are...
That's why we need to keep exploring.
Just tap something back.
Really hope they have something.
That's not what's coming.
I knock the bottom of my dagger. I'm like... See?
There's a bit of a pause. And then a repeat of exactly what you just did.
Now,
there's a break and then... And a really, really complex sequence of taps and scrapes is coming out.
What does that mean, Harry?
Tap, 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 scrape, scrape, tap, scrape, tap, scrape, scrape, tap, tap, tap.
It's definitely Morse code.
Oh, let's follow the pipes.
Does anyone speak Morse?
Did anyone take Morse code as their language?
Totally doing that for a character in future. That is amazing.
Yeah, like, they're probably telling us something really important. Like, yes, coming right now.
Let's follow the pipe, keep exploring.
Avoid the mould of cold.
Yeah. The mould of cold.
Where within the room does the pipe
So, head? The pipe runs through the wall out from what was clearly the large warehouse, mm-hmm. and then curves left, and then curves right into, basically, the wall further along the corridor and on the right-hand side.
Let's see what's in that room then.
Yeah, let's not go into the room with these scary things in it.
We're adventurers. Why are we not trying to deal with the monsters?
I dealt with monsters.
Because we're not heroes.
I'm a hero.
So am I.
I'm not.
You'll end up dead for that.
Well, I'd rather die heroically than live my life as a coward.
I will ask you that question
again
when you're in the process of dying, and I think your answer might be a bit different.
Look,
get a bit of perspective.
If we follow this thing, maybe we'll find something that deserves to drown. Right? That seems to be what you're into.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing. All right? Poseidon is angry, okay?
Yeah.
I tried to heal you all, and
he's
it was
always hard. Angry.
You don't know anything!
This is a conversation for another time.
Agreed!
But I will not. I stalk off down the corridor, knowing that I am faster than Zolt.
I will not accept your religious prejudice.
Bertie follows Amid down the corridor, going only very slightly faster than he knows Zolt's maximum pace is. Walking backwards, going like this, doing a swagger. You can't really see this on the tape.
What you got?
Show me what you got. Burn notice, the cleric of Poseidon.
My hands start to almost involuntarily move in the pattern to create burning disarm. I stop myself.
No, I stick with Zolt. I am not a hero. I just quite like running into dangerous situations. They're quite different things.
as you walk,
sound the same to me.
As all of you walk past the door at various points, it feels markedly colder, but Hamid, obviously from your experience, you know that it's a heck of a lot warmer than it was on the other side of the door. And yeah, walking past, you see there's a very, very small amount of mould that's made it out onto the other side. Although given the fact that there's barely a thumb's width of mould on the crack is enough to make the entire area cold, it's some pretty potent stuff, whatever it is.
You think it's valuable?
Almost certainly.
I could grab a lot. I've got some flasks and stuff.
But you probably can't harvest it safely. And you're welcome to give it a go, but
I think it sounds a bit risky.
You might lose some more fingers.
I do need those. Yeah.
Try giving it a scrape with this. Bring the sword out.
Should we find this person first? Mm.
Like, if we were going to do that, we should come back with proper gear for dealing with the cold.
That doesn't sound fun.
So you carry on down the corridor.
Yep.
You cross a corner, which turns to the right, and you see a rather interesting sight. What's left of a door, chunks of it have been torn out, and it looks like a table is propped up against it. Mm-hmm. However, that also looks like it's been pretty heavily annihilated. Mm. But for the most part, it's open, it seems to be. From this angle, you're basically looking at the open door, but it's blocking your view from the inside.
Since everyone's already been quite noisy.
Clang, bang, clang.
All right, mate.
Hello?
How's it going, Morsi?
Nothing. You're still getting from the pipe above you.
Are you the one tapping on the pipe?
Let's keep following the pipe.
Well, it goes into that room.
It might not necessarily end in that.
Well, we still need to look inside the room.
Inside the room, then. I thought you wanted to be a hero.
Is it a table up against the door?
It looks like some...
He said a table just now.
Yes.
Bertie power attacks the table.
Classic Bertie.
Bisecting the man.
18 total.
You hit the table!
Yeah!
Yeah. You hit the table. Describe.
Roll damage.
Oh, yes.
It's almost like roll damage on the table.
Yes.
To prove to yourself.
7 plus 4 is 11.
11. Plus an extra 2 for the power.
Oh, yeah. 13.
So enough to KO things at your level. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, describe your attack and then I'll go on.
Bertie sees the table. Sees red. Sees the table. He's not moving his head during any of this. It's the same object. Raises his sword in the air. Why you? I'm going to make you a very occasional table. Smashes.
Sure. You swing your sword, bury it into the table, like, say, smashing it.
Shatters into matchwood.
Pretty much, yeah. It falls apart. Chunks of table fly out past the other party members' heads.
I honestly don't know what this is all about.
Hello?
Revealing yet more...
table.
Sort of furniture. Like, it looks like furniture or something is piled up against it. It looks like someone got thin pieces of things that are effectively the same as tables and has piled them up against that door.
All right, mate.
Again. Scrape, tap, tap, scrape, 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 tap, scrape.
What else is in the room?
You will have to actively try to dig your way through what looks like a barricade of things.
I attempt to do so.
So just hacking, slashing, hacking, don't bother slashing. With attacks. Just crank. You slowly, hack your way through.
While this is going on, mm-hmm. I assume it takes a little while.
It does take a little bit of time.
I turn around and look back down the corridor, which with dark vision I can see quite well down.
Sure.
Just to make sure we're not being...
Yeah, it doesn't appear to be anything unusual happening.
On the subject of lights, I've switched my pauldron light back on.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Hacking and slashing and hacking, you eventually make your way through to something that you can just push aside. Revealing inside, you find yourself in, a set of toilets. Cubicles to the left and right. However, it looks like someone's been tearing at the cubicle walls and piling them against the door that you came in. The walls are awash with red stains that are definitely blood. And there is a body appears to be poking out from behind a set of sinks which are in the middle. You just see a leg poking out.
Zolf, there's someone here hurt.
Give me a perception check, Bertie, since you're first in.
12 minus 1 is 11.
There is also a broken vent directly opposite you. Again, exactly like before, it appears to have been broken out and chunks of it have been torn out and stuff like that.
Large enough for little monster-y
little monstery swarmy things, yeah.
Like the ones that we've encountered previously?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I think Bertie approaches what he thinks of as cautiously and stealthily.
Clang!
Yeah.
Yeah. Clang!
Precisely. He's going up by one side of... Are these sinks in the middle?
Yes,
okay.
In the middle.
Kind of, you know, hunched over, and he's got his sword ready because he is not sure if this body is going to be one of the zombie things, so he's ready and poised to attack if it turns out to be so. So he's going to go forward and then, like, just nudge the body there.
Okay, so you nudge it, and then the leg flops over. As you approach, you see off to the sides, obscured by other bits of barricade and things like that, a few of those creepy humanoid things.
They're little
mandrakey jobs.
Yeah.
That appear to have been properly bashed, like smashed in and things. And crawling around the corner, you see what's left of a person. The leg is just the leg, but looking beyond it into the very corner of the room, you see a corpse. It's heavily fungified and so on. There's one leg still there. The other leg, like I said, it's torn off. One of the arms is hanging loose. And in the arm that's hanging loose, it appears to be holding a like a large wrench. Mm-hmm. And surrounding it are the remains of like brained mandrake things. And it's just slumped up against the wall and is a massive copyright infringement on The Last of Us.
Bertie is going to go up to the body in the corner, and just to be on the safe side, he's going to ram his sword through the head of the double tap, you know.
Yep.
Just to have to make sure. Body in here, chaps. Let's have a closer look.
There's a small puff of spores as you do so.
Yeah.
Check for the name tag.
Bertie rifles through the pockets of the corpse.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go in and look around the room and help.
You find another badge. Mm-hmm. This one says Jason O'Connor. Give me a perception check. One person search. If other people want to help, do so.
I'll search.
What am I rolling for this?
It's
10.
It's give me your perception, and then if it's above a certain amount, you gain give a plus sort of 2 to whoever was leading it.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were searching and I was helping?
Yes.
Oh, right. Well, you know, my total perception roll was 9.
Let's hope that's fine.
My total perception roll was also 9.
So you both go, it's a body. Yeah.
That was off a 2, though, rather than a 10.
Yes.
If you had to guess, you'd guess that they were wearing what's left of like an overall, a coverall.
The most important thing was the name tag. So.
Sure, it appears, yeah. I don't know, an engineer's boiler suit or a caretaker, yeah. You don't know.
Where does the pipe go?
The pipe comes in, leads straight across and out the other side of the room.
Come back out the room and say,
how are we doing in there, boys?
There's a dead body, Jason O'Connor. I don't think they mention that name.
Well, someone probably does.
Yeah,
we don't, but heartless.
Mm.
He's dead.
I think
the pipe.
Would it count if you drowned some of the mandrakes? Because there's loads of them. I'm trying to understand. And they're really mean.
Not a sacrifice.
Oh.
I think the pipe heads on in that same direction, so we'll keep going around until we locate it.
And what would be bad is, you know, is the pipe going the other direction, past the tentacle monster and everything?
If we have to do that, we have to do that.
The pipe comes out the far side of that room. Bends right and then bends left. Running along the ceiling, it effectively seems to enter the elevator shaft.
Yeah, pretty sure that's the other
banging's not coming from this end, is it?
No. Like, so
the tapping and scraping by this point has now stopped.
I can't reach. Can you tap on it again and see if we can get a signal back?
Tap, tap, tap.
There's a beat. Tap, 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 and again. Tap, 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 scrape, scrape, tap, tap,
is
scrape,
it
scrape, tap, tap, scrape.
Quieter or louder from this end?
Quieter.
Right, so, yeah.
Gonna have to go back into the big room.
Yeah, well, this could get us paid, Zolf.
You're on point, Hammond. This is your operation now.
Okay.
We'll follow the corridor round, back into the crate room, back through into the fungus room, where I burnt that fungus with my acid.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're the dog that isn't being helpful with the sneaking.
The dog is almost physically attached to Bertie's legs at this point.
Occupying the same space from a mechanical point of view.
Yes, it's actively hindering you by being underfoot, tail between its leg, very quiet, clearly actually scared and just is almost tripping you up because it's so unwilling to part from your side, even for a moment.
Do you want to stay here then, Zolf, so that you don't have to try and run away from something big and scary?
I'll be happy to come with you. Whoa. I said, this is your operation. You take the lead. Tell me what to do. You want to be a hero? Be a hero.
We could go in quietly, Sasha. Just
no, you can't. No, not with these two.
Well, I meant just you and me, and they could wait here, and if we scream, they could come after us.
Now, bearing in mind that I will not get there in time.
Yeah, well, I can scream.
I don't scream.
Okay. I guess we should all stick together, then. We've got to try and find the source of that pipe.
What do you think, Zolf?
This is not my operation at this point.
Let's go in and stab some stuff.
Okay.
So you poke your head in?
Yep.
I am going to load a fire flask into one of my retractable wrist shields so that if I were to see a swarm, I could throw it without...
I'm going to say yes.
Cool.
We'll say that they're sort of vaguely test tubey shaped.
From where we were earlier, we think that the pipe is heading to the near corner of the room rather than the super far corner of the room where the big tentacle monster was.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to say, right, let's stick close to the wall and be ready to get out again if it all starts going wrong, but we'll head up towards that corner.
Oh, and also to say, because this is an audible thing, body language-wise, Zolf isn't being belligerent now.
Yeah.
Like, when he says, it's your thing, very sincere, and he's doing what you tell. He's not like, ooh.
Bertie is still sulking.
Hammond's a bit uncomfortable.
Bertie got compared to common people.
James's face.
A doleful shake of the head.
Yeah. Hammond's a bit uncomfortable with the leadership role because he's never had one before, but he's kind of just, okay, let's get on with it.
Follow the pipe, right?
So you're totally on board with this because it might wind Zolf up. That's the only reason.
So you're entering and heading down the near wall?
Sticking near to the wall and heading towards that corner.
Are you trying to be quiet or not?
No.
And who's
heading? I mean, it's just no point with the two flankers.
And who is it? Everyone?
Who's about?
Everyone in the middle? Okay.
Yeah. So I stay a couple of feet back because I don't like the idea of being caught up in swarm splash.
Sure. So as you start...
Say anything about that.
So, yeah, I'm just like, well, the swarm guys.
Yeah, no, if we can spread out a little bit, right, but not too far.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So as you're keeping very quiet and moving along the wall, the tapping and scraping sounds audibly louder. Yeah. And following that pipe, you see there's a whole mess of pipes, obviously, running out. And three branch off into the three tanks that are in the middle and are stretching down onto it.
Okay, having noticed that, as we go past each tank, I'm going to tap on it.
Mm-hmm.
I will tap out, the rhythm of a famous opera.
Okay.
Oh, how happy.
Yeah.
Hours.
Just a famous phrase. I mean, just so it's clear that it's sure.
Bertie picks up the libretto on the other side.
The first one that you tap at with your libretto, there's a tap and something else. And then swarms of red little legs press up against the grass and are moving all over it. You can't see what it is because of the deep steam in there, but it just...
That
fluttering
might be the thing that's
right next to your finger where it taps.
Yeah,
I mean, why would it be only Hammond a human that can tap?
Hammond sort of jumps back slightly, but not very much. Like, actually, he's doing pretty well at not freaking out.
Do you scream?
I don't think he screams.
Not one.
Presumably you do it at the next one along?
Yeah.
Okay. The next one along, again, it's a little bit of a tap. There's a... And then you see a fern just kind of flops up against the glass. But it pulls away and then flops up against the glass again.
Sure.
Is that the thing that's been tapping?
No, it's not the same. It would make more of a rhythm.
Heading like the terrifying animals exhibit.
Apparently.
Yeah, but all of them can like tap out Morse code. It's pretty cool. Like those tentacle ones, the little red thing, they can probably do quite a rhythm.
I can't tell which pipe the tapping's coming from.
Everyone give me a perception check. What's the highest?
22.
7.
Not bad. Important.
Okay. As you approach the last one, you see that steam appears to be leaving the far side of it, not the side that you're at, and not a lot, just a little sort of a... seems to be leaving at the far side. You would have to cross round to the far side of the tank in order to see it.
Bertie does, though.
Okay. Crossing round, you see there is a big, like a visible... maybe 5 foot across hole in the glass. It appears the way that glass broken to be tougher than glass. It hasn't just shattered like a big pane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something's beaten a hole through it. And it looks like there's a rock or something is pushed up against it. And that seems to have plugged the hole and there's just steam coming out from around the sides of it.
Is this one of the ones we already tapped on?
No, you haven't tapped on it yet. You just
tap.
36. Okay.
Tap on this one then.
You tap, and then a steamy hand presses against the glass, swipes across, and you just see a face look out at you and going, you can't hear anything, just... And I'm going to end the episode there.
No!
Yeah, I love it.
On the
you
incredibly
monster.
On the incredibly effective mimed... Lots of verbal communication.
I rely a lot on mime, so in audio it comes across terribly.
Yeah. He's about a 7 times better GM in person. There's a lot of it is mime. He mimes entire plot subplots.
Yeah, audio,
are happening in mime.
Yeah, like hearing is actually in many ways the sense in which he GMs the worst. Like he does a very smell heavy.
I enjoy the constant hugs.
I think that's proprioception GM.
The vibration therapy as well works very good for second.
I'm a big fan of my sign language romantic subplot. I've been running in the side. It's going really well. But yeah, we'll end there. We hope you hear us again next week.
Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Out of the swarm is actually old man McCulligan who owns the abandoned fairground.
On the forums we were trying to work out a mapping from the four characters to the four characters in Scooby-Doo, but we couldn't find a good one.
I still think
well done Alex,
you killed Scooby-Doo.
We're still carrying the corpse around because we sort of all hope that he's not actually dead.
I think we can do the same thing but with characters from Sex and the City.
Bertie was a better Scooby than Brutor ever was.
Brutor was scrappy then.
Yeah, he was.
Like, I see Bertie very much as the Samantha of the group. Because he's sassy. Sassy and empowered.
Sasha, you managed... Well, oh, James broke himself. Let's take him over.
Which one of them eventually turned into a dragon? I stopped watching after 5 minutes of one episode.
It's probably Miranda because she's focused and career driven.
I was trying to think of something that tasted like another thing and you put into a stew.
Being stealthy is umami.
Yeah, no, yeah, but you know when you put something in, you're like, oh, I accidentally ate a Brussels sprout, that kind of thing.
Oh, secret flavour.
Yeah.
Oh, like when you put chocolate into bolognese.
Yeah.
Chili chocolate. When you bite it, you're like, it's like an extra layer. Yeah.
Culinary discussions with the Rusty Quill team.
I had soup once.
But I do really like the thing about the vivisectionist alchemist. It's like, wah! I'm going to stitch a dog to a sword.
I think it's I don't won't worry too much about
more
like,
of a villain, really.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.